And we're back. Welcome to Deep Thinking, the motorcycle road racing podcast that tells you who let the dogs out. He's Ed
Sorbo. Number 69.
Yeah, okay. And why don't we just skip to all of the 69 jokes right now, okay?
We just all of those were put away by Nicky Hayden. He erased number 69, and the quote from him is, "There's nothing kinky about it." My uncle or whoever it was,
his dad,
erased that number.
His
so
dad.
That just puts it all to bed.
You know
what? What are you going to say about who we are?
Oh, yeah, he's Ed Sorbo from Lindemann Engineering. You can find him on the web at le-suspension.com. And I'm Michael Gugis. You can find my rantings on the web at motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com. And you can find Ed and I running around the racetracks of Southern California and parts beyond once the probation officer lets us out of the area.
Hey, Michael, did you notice that there were three... count them, 1, 2, 3 different manufacturers on the podium from MotoGP Round 1.
I did notice
this
that.
Past Sunday. Did you notice that?
I did notice that.
Did you notice what all three of those manufactured motorcycles have in common, besides Michelin tires and common software?
I don't know, Ed. What did all three of those motorcycles have in common?
They all had winglets, Michael, and thank you for asking.
They did not. The Honda did not.
They did, too.
No, that's bullshit, dude. I'm going to MotoGP.
All three of them had winglets, and the first person without winglets finished in fourth.
I refuse to believe that, and if that's the case, enjoy them while you can, because they're history, dude. That was really...
So check this out.
I'm listening.
Very soon... So Honda has the smallest winglets of anybody. Very soon, you're going to see the Honda Wing logo painted onto their winglets. You see how I did that?
Yes. I'm having a difficult time buying that, dude. I'm having
if you need a good explanation of what's going on, get in your car, roll the window down when you're going about 30 miles an hour, and stick your head or your hand out the window, and what you feel is aerodynamic drag.
Yes, you are correct.
Aerodynamic drag is a really powerful force, and if you can imagine going 218 miles an hour on the frickin' Ducati, that's mind-blowing.
I totally...
It looks like it's 10 feet long, and they go 218, right? The importance of aerodynamics goes up exponentially as you increase the speed.
Absolutely, and you're absolutely correct. The challenge that and the difficulty of this, Ed, is that it doesn't necessarily relate in the same way on a motorcycle. It doesn't work that way. Oh my God, they put those awful things on Marquez's bike. What would they...
Air flows the way air flows all the time.
Yes.
It matters the shape. It does different things around different shapes, true. But the flow around stuff is the flow around stuff, and it matters. Hey,
it doesn't...
who's got the best quote from the weekend's racing? I know you don't know, so I'm going to give you a hint. There was an open-wheel car race somewhere. It looked like an older circuit or maybe a converted street circuit, and the passing car touched wheels with the car he was passing, so he went flying in the air for a long, long time,
and
his car just, came into a million pieces.
That was Formula One.
Okay, the driver's okay, but the quote is, "I wanted to get out of the car as quick as I could because I knew my mom was watching somewhere." I thought that was a pretty good logical way to think, right?
You gotta admire that. Ed, enjoy the wings while they're there. They're going to be gone by the end of the year. That was it was terrifying watching, what's his name? Iannone and Dovizioso going side by side into the corner. And they're leaning on each other's bodywork. And it's bad enough when it's smooth, but it doesn't take...
You mean when it's smooth, like your foot peg and my handlebar and my leg and your elbow, all that smooth stuff?
That stuff is spooky enough. There's no sense in going, well, that stuff's dangerous enough. Let's add some really big Simtars to the side of the bikes and see what happens.
You know, it would be really dangerous if you put your finger or your arm or your leg in the spokes between my wheel as it spins around.
Oh,
maybe
yes.
We should have solid discs or some kind of cover so that you can't do that.
Discs I'd go for.
And there's a chain spinning around. Maybe we should encase that completely like the Honda Passport.
I'm totally down with that, too. Totally down with that.
I'm sorry, it's motorcycle racing.
There's no reason to attach
It's not PlayStation.
I get that, but there's no reason to attach large weapons to the side of the bike. Okay.
They're not weapons, and fiberglass carbon fiber bodywork is going to break away a lot easier than your handlebar is. I get it that you don't like how it works and I how it looks, and I know there's a lot of people in that camp, but
it doesn't,
I'm sorry to tell you, the times are changing. There's even a song about that.
But it doesn't work that well.
Sound quality is so low in this show.
Say again? Oh, because both you and I are carrying around the bubonic plague? And we've decided not to cross-pollinate each other?
So we're doing the on-the-phone thing again, folks. Michael's on a speakerphone, and I'm on my cell phone, and we apologize. Put your headsets on, turn up the volume. It's worth the pain and suffering.
I couldn't agree more. You know what?
The racing was unbelievable, dude. I don't have to do any more cardiovascular exercising this entire season. My heart rate was extremely elevated from before the lights went out to the time the thing was over. I was just like buzzing. I couldn't stand it. There was so much stuff going on. It was amazing. You got to say, we all have to say that Michelin did a fantastic job, and the MotoGP rules makers got what they wanted. They got closer, more exciting races with more guys in the hunt. It was fantastic. Yes, it's only the first round. This track is always a little bit odd, yada, 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 but it sure did start out good.
Okay. Is it time for us to deal with reality now, Ed?
But you can speak if you'd like.
Okay, here's reality. All the money, all the rule changes, all the headaches. You had the same five of the six same guys on the podium as they were last year. Okay.
Yeah, but look at the gap between them.
It was the gap wasn't that different. The gap wasn't that different, was it?
There were four guys who were in it for the win up until the last lap. On the last lap, there was one guy who was going to win and three guys who were in it for second place. Maybe you should go back and watch last year's race again. Last year's race was great, but it was just two guys the whole time. This race had everything, including how many times are you going to see Lorenzo get passed almost simultaneously on both sides?
Oh, right.
I couldn't believe that. He had the blue paint sucked off of him, as one of the announcers said.
But we saw that.
He had been there in the press conference, in the interview, you know, they have the three winners and they all pass the microphone around.
Right.
He would have asked the best question of the whole thing and nobody asked it, which is, how did it feel to have your paint get sucked off, Mr. Lorenzo?
Dude, but that's typical. That always happens at Qatar. Go look at the top speed charts at Qatar every year.
Yeah. But two bikes, one on either side. That's what I'm talking about.
I will admit, it looked cool, and for some people, that's enough. Okay, but the reality is that the Ducati was second again, and they got beat by a bike that was way slower than them in a straight line.
They got beat by 2 whole seconds, 1 second of which happened because Dovizioso, Dobby, and Marquez battled on the last lap and cost an extra second, right? So it was 2.2 seconds from first to fourth.
Right.
And you're telling me that's not exciting and better than last year?
Oh, I'm saying it's exciting. I'm saying it's basically the same result, you know? And...
Well, gee, the four aliens are still the fastest guy in the world. I'm sorry we didn't have a rule that says we have to hit him in the head with a hammer.
This is my point.
To make him slow like everybody else.
Oh, my God. Don't look at Formula One, Ed. Don't.
I just read your blog, your latest post, and I had heard a rumbling that they did some crazy shit in qualifying, and then they can't do that. What the hell?
Okay, so here's what happened. This is awesome, okay? Somebody came up with the plan that you run a qualifying session, and every 90 seconds, the bottom two people on the timing chart are eliminated. So the idea was that...
Physical chairs. You just got to keep going faster.
That was...
Okay, and so what actually happened?
The minute that the first two guys got eliminated, the people who were just ahead of them, who realized they had no chance to catch the people in front of them, parked their cars because they had no chance of catching the guys in front of them, right? And so why?
So, yeah, because in Formula One, the driver can't mix shit up. His car is as fast as it is, and they're all totally good enough to drive those cars at the limit.
Absolutely at the limit. So, okay. So the minute that you realize, you know, okay, the Manor, M-A-N-O-R, team, they parked their cars, they've been knocked out. I've got no chance at catching the Saubers. Why am I going to put more wear and tear on my race motor?
Right, exactly, or crash the thing or whatever.
Exactly.
And so everybody started parking from the bottom up until nobody was left?
There were 5 minutes left in qualifying, and there was no other car on the track.
Because the fast guy knew he already had it because all the other guys were parked.
Yep.
Man, they should have had a meeting before they did that.
they just didn't think it all the way through, you know.
That would not be your first thought that guys would just park. Like if you were at a club race, right? And they're like, "Oh, there's time on the clock." Like 20 guys are trying to get out there and take advantage of the time. But of course, this is not a club race, so
you know,
yeah, you can see the logic for a team like that. If there's no reward, then there's no point in taking the risk.
I went to the Long Beach Grand Prix 1 year, and I remember what happened. They had like a qualifying session. It was like an hour long, okay? But on street circuits, the rubber obviously doesn't build up during the year and during the normal use, right? So
right.
The track literally gets faster with every lap. And there was like nobody on the circuit for the first 30 minutes of qualifying. Like nobody. And then this mad scramble in the last 5 minutes to put in a fast lap. You want to be the last possible person to cross the start-finish line. It was nuts.
Yeah, that's why they need silly support car, rental car races to get more rubber down out there.
It was a disaster. It was really bad. No, I don't expect that from MotoGP. I just wanted to point out that obviously the cream rises to the top. And that, you know, this whole idea about we'll make unified software and everybody will be closer. Somebody pointed out that once you get behind, Rossi? Once you get behind him, the gaps start to get way bigger than they were last year.
I don't know. There's a 3-second spread from the fastest bike to the slowest bike. And that includes two brand new bikes that were in their very first race ever.
Right. That's in qualifying.
And qualifying was, I think it was 1.8 seconds down to the 18th place bike, or maybe that was one of the practice sessions.
It was
definitely closer than it has been before. And there was lots of exciting things going on.
Well, there were lots of exciting things going on. No doubt about that. Okay. I would not argue with that with you on that at all. Okay, but
I heard something we can't agree on,
which is
apparently it's really hard to put on motorcycle races. And anybody who's worked as a volunteer tech inspector or as a race director or any of this, running any kind of race, whether it's that you're trying to be the guy to get your friends to all line up so you guys can go for 5 laps in the dirt, right? All the way up to you're the race director for MotoGP. And the reason I say it must be hard is because even with all the technology MotoGP has, they had 7 guys clearly jump the start, but they were only able to signal to 5 of them, and they waited until lap from the end of the race before they penalized the last 2 guys. And the only way they could, which was to just give them a 20-second penalty instead of making them do a ride-through. I'm like, what the hell happened that they got it so wrong as to that?
Well,
we all saw the jump start. We heard the announcer calling the name of one of the guys who had jumped didn't call. And I was looking at another guy that they didn't call. I knew they had missed people, and it took them till the end of the race. Pathetic.
Well, here's what I read, okay? They have 3 people monitoring all 30 riders, okay? That's it. They rely on their cameras. Well, their camera system had a glitch in it, and they couldn't actually look at the line-by-line thing, okay? So and you and I have talked about this before. It's that reliance on, oh, we'll just let the computers handle this. We'll have the technology sort this out in a place where you really kind of need a human backup, You know? So on top of that, the
whole problem started, and maybe this does speak to the glitch. The red light was on for way too long. I was ready to jump to start from my chair, absolutely. If the red light stays on for half an hour, you're not supposed to go anywhere. But nevertheless, there's kind of a standard that we all expect, and it should be the same for everybody. It should be red lights go on, 1001, 1002, red lights go off.
Right.
It should be that every single time.
Somewhere in there.
The goal is to make a fair, safe start, not
right.
to catch people out. So yep. The lights were on too long. That was the first problem. Maybe it was a problem. Maybe they don't just have a thing where a human holds the button down and then lets go after he counts to two. On the cameras, you should have a person on each row. But then, of course, if you do that, then you got the thing about, well, who gets to make the call, the person or the cameras?
Right.
And you're saying their cameras had a glitch, but for crying out loud, they can't roll their chair over and watch the TV monitor that the rest of us were watching.
Dude, and you want...
It had a picture that showed everybody. You could see all seven guys who jumped.
Right. Actually, it was nine.
Yeah.
Nine. And this is the worst part, okay? The last two, to me anyway, the last two penalties that were handed out in violation of MotoGP's own rules, which state that a rider guilty of a jump start must be notified within four laps. You don't,
You know, what I'm thinking, when you got nine guys, right? And half of those guys, like, creeped and then stopped.
Right.
Right? It wasn't like they gained an advantage, and not enough to make a difference in the outcome of the race.
Right.
I say when me, the race director, is responsible for the red light was on for too long and that many guys jump, I say, sorry, let it run.
Yeah.
Give a press release, apologize.
Right.
That's no worse than what they did.
Or red flag it and start it over.
Well, yeah, you can do that, but I don't think you're ever going to get that in the TV world.
Yeah,
everyone who actually races would say, yeah, just red flag it and start it with one less lap. That's fine with us. But the TV people live in some other crazy world, right? Where, like, you watch the Super Bowl, they know when they're going to get to run their commercials in advance, right?
Right.
And that mindset doesn't fit well with, oh, sorry, we got to have a red flag, right?
Yeah, no kidding. I don't know. It was just...
I want to criticize them. They fucked up. But at the same time, I know it's hard. Because those guys got a lot of smart people working there who've done this before and have raced before. And they have a lot of good technology. So when you go to your next club race and the race doesn't start just perfect, cut them a little slack if you can.
Okay, let me put it to you this way, okay? I will... I beat up on race direction enough in my history, I was gonna do the list of race direction's biggest screw ups of the past 5 years, and then
that's
thought
that's a long list, dude. You can't
right. I mean, like chapter one, chapter two, right?
Right.
We devote a whole page and a half to the Sepang incident from last year. But hey, I will agree with you, even though you're so wrong on the wing thing, it's not even funny. I will agree with you that it was an exciting race. My left leg was bouncing because you just didn't know what was going to happen. And you've got...
Yeah, and part of that was because of the technology changes, right?
And,
Lorenzo's not going to make a mistake.
Right.
But you didn't know if that tire was going to say, "Ah, fuck you,"
right?
Or that the electronics were going to leave, or whatever, right? So there was a little bit extra. It won't be quite as worrisome as dramatic the next time because we know they work, right?
Well, yeah, we know we know they worked okay. And there was also the question of who's going to go fastest on the worn tires. And Lorenzo, I mean, he absolutely pulled one out of the hat. Any other circuit, and Qatar is weird. Any other circuit that would have been a Lorenzo Marquez 1-2. But those Ducatis were quick. That was, it looked like 2007. Do you remember that?
That straightaway is not longer than other straightaways, right?
It's a full kilometer.
Yeah, but they got a couple of tracks that got full kilometer straightaways. Kilometer, fuck, that's not even a mile.
No,
straightaway at Brainerd is way longer than that.
That's true. But it's also, it's a fairly quick corner that you're coming out of. It's not exactly...
It's a second gear corner. It's more than 90 degrees.
Dude,
that ain't that fast.
A second gear...
I mean, granted, second gear on those bikes is like 115 or something like that.
Exactly.
But compared to other corners, you know, the corner that leads onto that long-ass straightaway in Italy where at the end they're going over the crest and down to the left.
Are we talking about Mugello?
That corner is way faster than gets onto the straightaway. So, yeah, I'm surprised that the Ducatis are so fast there and not at so fast at other places. I don't know. I don't get the difference.
I don't. You know what? I think it has to do with simply the raw horsepower of the thing and its ability to get it, for whatever reason, it has the ability to get through that last corner. And it does it really well.
This is a great example of the problem in, of the wheelie and why they want, one of the reasons they want the winglets, right?
Yep.
Is that it's a second gear corner.
Right.
Those bikes are 30 miles an hour faster than the others. And yet you watch Lorenzo pull away as they accelerate out of that corner. And the top speed difference doesn't matter until after they've crossed the start-finish line and are rapidly coming up on the braking marker points.
Yep.
Right? So you totally can have more power than you can use. And I got to say, that's a pretty cool thing.
It is a pretty cool thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
42.35. Wait a second. I'm looking at the wrong one. Okay. Yeah, 42.28. Yeah, the lap time was exactly, the race time was 7 seconds quicker than last year.
It was faster. But, you know, that's an irrelevant number because the air temperature could be 1 degree different that caused that kind of thing.
Right.
Making those comparisons, it's nice, you know, but it's not anything really useful.
Well, I would like to say...
I know what I want to know.
Okay.
Did you notice the thing that showed the distance in meters?
Yes.
To the bike ahead or behind?
Yes.
They can't be doing that with the timing and scoring system. There aren't enough leaps. They must be putting a laser rangefinder on the bikes.
That's
part of the camera.
And yet they don't have enough people to tell you whether or not somebody jumped to start or not.
Well, that's a separate group of people. They've got four cameras on all the bikes on the grid now.
I think
so. We're gonna see some really cool footage because they're gonna have footage of every freaking thing that happened.
Yeah, that's
true.
I'm
expecting to see a lot more neat little after the race is over, the week after kind of thing, showing highlights and stuff like that, like you and I have talked about. We talked about that Moto America should make that video available to the riders, and they can use their own things or whatever. Maybe MotoGP is going to start doing this. It could be pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to it's Argentina, right, in 2 weeks?
Yep. That should be.
They're going to have to change the schedule, though, because We Are West is racing at Vegas that weekend, and that, you know, makes it hard for me to watch all of practice and all the races.
Well, we'll have to throw a red flag in the middle of the races.
No, I think MotoGP should change their schedule to suit us.
To suit We Are West. All right.
I think Lorenzo Rossi would be down with that.
Ed, when you think about me, Michael Gugis, the first word that comes to mind is logical. Data-driven, okay? Rooted in reality.
I wouldn't think of any of those, but do go on.
Fuck, I cracked me up. I just want to point out, last year's race at Losail, okay, at Qatar, okay, the top 15 riders, 15th was Hector Barbera, okay? He crossed the line 33 seconds behind the winner, Valentino Rossi. Okay, this year, Tito Rabat, the 15th placed rider, crossed the line 54 seconds behind the leaders. Okay, as a matter of fact, only the top 10 crossed the finish line this time within the time frame from the last of the top 15 from last year. We've actually spread the field out more. We've actually spread the field out even more. It looks a little better at the front, don't get me wrong. Okay, and you could argue, well, that's where it matters. But last year, the gap from first to fourth was 2.7 seconds. This year, the gap from first to fourth was 2.3 seconds.
So, I think a big reason for that, like why Tito and the other D Honda guys are struggling so bad, is, and I can't remember which rider divulged this piece of information, but apparently the new software requires massive amounts more time to go into the right screen and change the thing that you want and then save it and get back out. I think it was Crutchlow who said something about his guys were having to stay up really late, that it takes, you know, an hour to do something that used to take minutes.
Wow.
Just because of how the parameter, how it's set up, right?
Really?
And so there was another something that somebody was saying, I think it was Smith, and I got the feeling that the A teams, who have a whole bunch more people on staff doing computer stuff, are able to figure this stuff out, and they just haven't had a chance to tell those guys, okay, listen, this thing over here you don't need to worry about. This thing over here, this is critical, and look, you can go to this screen and then jump over there and that kind of stuff. And I'm hoping that the brains that people need to say, I need more traction or less traction or whatever, that part's good. It's just they don't know how to get there and click the right thing. And so the A teams will be able to give them more of that information to their B teams, and those guys that have been struggling, mostly the Honda dudes, will be able to catch up some. I think Audi is demonstrating that they're sharing their information the best, and that their B guys are higher up than Honda's B guys.
Well, hold on. Let's not go. Let's see. Hector Barbera was the second Ducati, and he was 21 seconds back. And then there was Scott Redding, and
but that was like 8th and 10th place.
Yeah, right.
What are you going to attribute to this bigger time gap to? The tires, or the software, or the weather?
I think it's
kind of a useless data point.
I think,
saw that, you know, Ducati took the shotgun approach, and didn't they have the most guys in the top 10? Yamaha had 4 in the top 10.
Yes.
Ducati had 3. But, you know, still not too bad.
Honda had 2.
If their Maniac guy hadn't chucked it, they'd had 4 in the top 10.
Yeah, right. What did they say? They don't call him the Maniac for nothing.
It's time for him to scuff that shit off his leathers and start getting serious. That was totally foolish.
It was a dumb mistake.
Especially that early in the race.
It was a dumb mistake.
His teammate got by him totally clean on the straightaway.
Right?
And he stuffed back up the inside of him. For what?
Right.
Because he couldn't think about the distance of the totality of the race. And then he crashed because he ran over the paint on the inside of the corner.
Exactly.
Come on.
You're getting paid good. It's like, hey, you're a professional. You're getting paid to do this, pal. You don't get to have brain fades like that.
Not like that. Not at the 6th lap of the race. Not endangering your teammate. All of that stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's a kid and excited and all that shit. But he's been an adult racing in MotoGP for years and years and years. He knows these lessons already.
You should.
So,
by the way,
the Maniac part is supposed to be the show, not the reality.
Boom! That's the quote of the show right there, Ed.
I think the award for most improved has to go to Marquez and Honda for from where they started the weekend to where they finished.
Oh, really?
Fantastic.
So what you're saying is that I was correct in the last podcast.
You were more correct than I thought you were, but I don't think you were as correct as you thought you were.
That's a true statement.
Hey, how are we doing on time?
We're doing great. We've got a few minutes left. I'm sorry. I'm gonna take that as a total victory right there. No, what you see given to me, okay? Given the fact that all the bikes have more power that they can use, acceleration is not a function of the engine. It's a combination of the function of the engine's characteristics and the software's ability to manage that.
The bike that accelerated the best has the biggest winglets.
Well, yeah, there's that, and that bike didn't win, did it? I think
This is me destroying Michael's train of thought, folks.
I think what Honda was really, really focusing on in the preseason was making sure that the stuff that they couldn't change once the season started was correct. And I think as they get a little better with the software, we'll start to see them unlock some of that acceleration. You know, the bike's not a piece of junk. It's not garbage, you know,
but the garbage that they had last year is still with them enough to be affecting them. The Yamaha is clearly the class of the field.
Oh my God. Well, at least
Rossi has no excuse for not finishing second. And the Ducati was fast at this track, but we know it's been fast at this track before, and we'll have to wait and see. And the Honda is totally not fixed all the way. Bradley Smith signed for KTM for next season.
Right.
That's going to be interesting.
No, it's not. But it's not going to be interesting at all. It's going to be the Aprilia, which is, let's see, where did it finish? 41 seconds back. But Ed, I'll say it again. God bless Bradley. He's a professional athlete. He's going to get paid to race a motorcycle, and he's going to get paid handsomely to do it. I'm totally okay with that.
And quit criticizing the factory ride that he decided to take when he knows there's no other factory ride going to be available. And by the way, the Aprilias looked and sounded good, and they made a good showing for themselves.
Are we talking about the Aprilias in MotoGP?
Yes. Sad happened. In one of the support races.
Right. Well, we're going to save that for the two-minute board. We still got to...
Are we there?
Yeah, we got... You know what? They're not paying extra for a longer podcast. I got more things to say.
Well, wrap it up, because I got boogers trying to run out of my nose.
I'm happy. Bradley, by the way, he had been told and had been hinted strongly that he would not have a ride next year with Tech 3. So he jumped. I got no problem with that at all. I hope he helps out the KTM team. I really do. I just wanted to give a proper shout out to the lap that Lorenzo ran. Okay.
Like the second to the last lap of the race.
Kaboom! You know.
Unbelievable.
There you go. That's why the guy's the champion. That's why the guy's the world champion.
I tell you what, he put the hammer down midway through the race with a 54.3. And they stayed with him.
Yep.
Last year, when he did that shit, he just disappeared.
Yep. And again...
He did really well. I was impressed.
And you've got to wonder, too, how much he was holding in reserve because, just as you put it, you didn't quite know what those last few laps were going to be like. But then when it's two to go, it's like, whatever's in the tank, we're burning now. And that was beautiful.
You know, I don't think he went 100%. He didn't make a single mistake. I think that part of being not sure, and plus by that time he had +1 on his board.
Right.
And it was building.
Right.
So he didn't have to go as hard as he could. He said it was one of his three best races ever. Mm-hmm. Not his best race.
Right.
Right? Remember at Lorenz at last year's last race?
Yes.
He said that was the best lap I've ever done. So the guy, he will tell when he did it his best.
Right.
So I think he had a little bit of reserve, but I think that carries my point even more. It was one of his three best races ever, and they still were only a second back until the last lap.
Okay.
He got that extra second because of the battle between Marquez and Dobby.
We will see what occurs in Argentina. Remember,
except that Argentina's weird too, right? So we got a couple rounds to go through before we get to the regular European part of the season.
I will. I'll say this about Argentina: the underperformance of the Suzuki at Qatar may well be compensated for in Argentina. We might see the Suzuki go well there because the bike clearly.
Also, what's the teammate's name? The guy who's slower right now?
Oh, Alex Espargaro.
Espargaro switched back to the 15 chassis on Sunday afternoon.
Sunday,
you know, right before the race.
Jesus, really?
And he got a little bit of what he wanted out of doing that. So hopefully they've started to figure out what's been troubling him, what's been missing for him, and that they'll both be running closer to where they were. Yeah, he got swamped on the start, and that was, it just doesn't have the extra grunt to get by. Yeah. But you're right, the Argentina track should help them out.
Okay, time for the two-minute board. The gentleman's name was a rider from Tunisia. His name, as best we can pronounce, is Taufik Gattouchi. He died in a support race, the Losail 600 Cup, on Friday at the Qatar weekend. I just want to say, Ed, here's a guy who's racing internationally at the age of 49.
Which is pretty cool, right?
Yep. Not a guy.
He's old enough to know what he's doing and what the risks are and that he wants to do it. He's probably paying for it himself.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And, you know, you hope that it's all those things about, well, it's actually not a bad way to go kind of thing, right?
You know, yep. You only hope that all his last thought was, uh-oh. Right.
You know, it's guys like that that make me think of a line from, I think the movie is Bull Durham, the baseball game.
Okay.
And the guy comes, he's the catcher, right? He's played at the pros, and now he's back into the farm league, and they're using him to train the new pitcher. And so the other minor league guys are asking him, what's it like to play in the pros, right?
Right.
And he says, the practice balls are white. Right? So, right, you go to your club race, and there's ugly cones and, you know,
right,
all the other shit, right?
Right.
At a club event. And then you go to a support race for MotoGP.
Right.
And the place is pristine, right? It's beautiful, and all kinds of things are really neat and whatever. And, yeah, some of it's bullshit, too, because you got a funny schedule or whatever. But you're following your team, you're having a good time. Hey,
you know,
good for him.
I got nothing but respect for the guy. Hey, he's Ed Sorbo, and I'm Michael Gugis.
Aloha.
Aloha.